السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين صدق الله العظيم علماء کرام most respected brothers also sisters who listen over the receivers this is an ayat of the Quran Sharif which Allah تبارك وتعالى has mentioned in Surah Hujurat. There are many, many things that have been discussed in that surah which relate to the akhlaq and adab, our etiquettes, our morals, our behavior, our character, our attitude, our responses to different things. The Holy Quran Sharif is a guidance for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us guidance with regards to every aspect of our life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then explained it, exemplified it in his teachings. So here in this verse, which I did discuss some years ago, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye who are believers, O ye who believe. There are many places in the Quran Sharif where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Meaning that you have already believed, you have already accepted that I am your sustainer, I am your creator, I am your provider, I am your khaliq, malik. So the person who has already believed in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he is the only one that should be worshipped and obeyed. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then says that now you love your parents, love your children, then we love our children, we love our parents, we love those things that Allah ta'ala has ordered us to love. But we obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore someone said that the ashiqana tarjuma, that those who are the beloved or those who consider Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to be their beloved. So then the moment Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then immediately they become alert. Recently we find these countries of the world, they say they are on high alert. Why? Because they are suspecting terrorists are going to bomb or blast the aeroplanes or do something else. So everybody is on high alert. So the Muslim becomes on high alert when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders and instructs, or when Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then they listen very carefully. What is the hukam of Allah ta'ala? What is He telling us to do? What is that message that Allah ta'ala is giving? So Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye believers, In ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. If any sinful person, wicked person, evil person comes to you with any kind of information, then verify that information. Fatabayyan. Verify that information. Now I'm mentioning this in the because it is very relevant to our times. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says when any such kind of information is conveyed to you, O believers, then verify it. And tusibu qawman bi jahala. It must not happen that you fall upon a community, a people, unwittingly, you cause any kind of harm, by way of explanation, that you must not cause any kind of harm to some people unwittingly, unknowingly. You don't intend to cause harm. But because of this information that you received, now you take some action, and that action causes harm to some people, some communities, some individual. Because you took action on the basis of this information which you received. أَنْتُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالًا فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. But then when this information was later proven to be untrue, I'm not giving the translation, explanation. When this information that you got, on the basis of which you took some action, afterwards this information proved to be untrue. It was just an allegation. There was no truth in it. But you already took an action. You already made a decision that this information is correct. And therefore you took action. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Then what will happen? Then you express great amount of regret and remorse. That why did I take this action? Why didn't I verify? Why didn't I check? Why didn't I find out? Why didn't I make some investigation? Now, but it's too late. The person has already taken some action. Sometimes he is able to mend, and sometimes he is able to rectify and once again win the favor of that person, or ask him for apology and the person accepts the apology. But many a times the person might not accept the apology and say that you said this, you did say that. Now you say, but the information that I had received was not correct, it's too late. The background to this ayat was, again the gist of it, we don't have the time to go into any detailed tafsir. The gist of it was that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave or presented Islam to the leader of the Bani Mustaliq tribe, Haris bin Zirar, radiyallahu ta'ala. He presented Islam to him. He explained to him what Islam is. This person accepted Islam. Hazrat Haris accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also instructed him about zakat. That zakat has to be paid as a Muslim. So whether it was namaz, zakat, whatever were the ahkam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained him Islam, he accepted Islam. And then he said that I'm going back to my tribe. And when I go back, then I want to present Islam to them also. This was their burning desire, that Islam, which brought peace in their lives, Islam which brought hope in their lives, Islam which gave them that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Islam which reformed and transformed the whole society, the teachings of Islam which are so beautiful, so practical, so easy, so wonderful, that it brings peace, happiness, contentment and satisfaction in the life of the individual, of the family and of the society. There will be security, there will be peace, there will be happiness, there will be protection. People will respect others. There will be no stealing, no gambling, no fornicating. Our wives, our daughters, our children will be safe and protected if there is practice on Islam and Islamic teachings. So they did not want to keep this beautiful Islam just in their four walls. They wanted that people should know about Islam, learn about Islam and accept Islam. So he said, when I go back, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to invite my community, I'm going to invite my people towards Islam. And I will collect the zakat from them, and you can send your person down and he will collect the zakat and come and hand it over to you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his Islam on his hands. And then Hazrat Haris went back to his community. When he went back to his community, then there he started propagating Islam. He started inviting people towards the deen. Those who accepted Islam, he told them about zakat, and they handed the zakat to him. He awaited Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's agent or or person that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to send to collect the zakat. So now he was awaiting him, but on the date that it was promised that he was going to come, he didn't come. And in another riwayat it is that he did come, but what really happened was that there was a misunderstanding. Hazrat Uqba bin Mu'ith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had dispatched him that you go and collect that zakat and come. Now when he left, Hazrat Haris thought that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's envoy is coming, so we must welcome him. So with a nice large gathering, they went out of the town to welcome this envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam who was going to collect the zakat. In the meantime, Uqba bin Mu'ith, because of their disagreement and because of the enmity that existed in the days of ignorance between them, so he got very worried. He thought that this was just a ploy, that they were not truly Muslim. Such a large crowd, suddenly where did they accept Islam? So when he saw them coming towards him, he turned around and he thought that they were going to attack him, they were going to assassinate him. Because so many people accepted just within a short period of time Islam upon the hands of Hazrat Haris. So he turned around and he came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said that these people, they are not true Muslims. It seems that they were just pretending. But as I was going, I could see that they were coming out to attack me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became very concerned. And he dispatched Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu to make an investigation. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst he was going, in the meantime, some of those people came away to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and informed him that this was very surprising that we were coming out to welcome him. And he turned around, and he came back to you. And next thing we have been told that we were going to assassinate him or something. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala that whatever it is, you go and investigate. When he investigated, he found that they were true Muslims, and they had indeed come out to welcome him, and they were giving the zakat, or they wanted to hand it over with respect to the agent of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But this was the background. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gave an ayat or gave a verse which is for mankind and for the believers till the day of Qiyamah. Although Hazrat Uqba bin Mu'ith, he was not a sinful person. He was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and there was a great misunderstanding that took place. But this is the point that I wish to emphasize, that at present there's great amount of quarrels and fitnas in families and society. Great amount. There's an explosion. Nobody seems to be safe. Everybody's name seems to be involved some way or the other. And most of the times it is nothing but just speculation. It is nothing but just allegation. It is nothing but just rumors that are circulating. And it is nothing but just scandal. It is nothing but just fitna and mischief. So therefore this ayat is very, very relevant to us. We know that even if you have to look at the news and the information that comes through the internet and through the newspapers and through the magazines and through the media, how much of it is nothing but lies. How much of it is nothing but lies. Just after a few days you will hear that there was no truth in it. So many different kinds of information, but there is no truth in it. And what we do, we are so gullible that anything that we read in some pamphlet or some magazine or newspaper, or we listen over the radio, then we take it to be the truth and nothing but the truth. And thereafter we start condemning, criticizing, ridiculing, mocking, teasing, and all kinds of labels are given. Whereas there is no investigation that we have undertaken, and we haven't even established or determined whether it is true. It has caused so much of friction between nations, between people, between communities, between societies, because of these lies that are circulated in the name of information. So we have to be very, very careful. Don't just accept anything and everything that is dished out. We have to use our own intellect, our intelligence. If there is some way that we can investigate and arrive at the truth, then well and good. But if it doesn't really concern us, and if it does not really matter whether we investigate or not, then ignore it. But don't pass it on and don't circulate it until we are certain that it is nothing but the truth. Now this is a difficult thing. It's not easy in these times. Because every way that you stand, somebody is giving you some news. If you're in the wuzu khana also, you will hear BBC, CNN and all kinds of news broadcasts. In the masjid also, you will hear all that. Everywhere there's nothing but news broadcast. So half of it is nothing but lies. How many times we have been given some kind of a pamphlet or some kind of a circular, somebody brings up something from the internet and then says, Maulana must announce this. Look, see what happened here, what happened there. And after some time, you hear there was nothing in it. There was no truth in it. So therefore, we ignore it until it is not established that it is nothing but the truth. Now, that is on the international level, national level, and the media level. We can't go into details how many incidents there are. I recall that there was an ijtima that took place here in Springfield some time back in the early days. One of the reporters of the Post newspaper at that time, he asked me, what have these people gathered here for? So I explained to him what they gathered for. What is their purpose of gathering? He said, but then where will they be going now? All these groups that are made, where will they be going? I said, they will be going to different towns, cities, countries to propagate the message of deen, to invite towards the deen of Islam and to make an effort to practice upon the deen of Islam. So he said, no, but which countries they will be going to? I said, well, certain countries I mentioned, some of the jamaats that were going. The next day there was a headline. Maulana Yunus Patel, at that time I was the secretary of the Jamiat. Maulana Yunus Patel, the secretary of the Jamiatul Ulama, states that after this gathering, the groups will be going to Uganda to improve the economic condition of that country. Okay. So they'll be going to Uganda to improve the economic condition of that country. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So there are so many incidents of that. People are quoted left, right and center, and we have no knowledge whether it is truth or lies. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. If a person who is sinful, wicked, mischievous, if he comes to you with news, then verify it, check it out, establish, ascertain whether it is true or lies. Therefore I always say that these days, if somebody quotes me, then you must ask for written quote. Because there are so many things I have been told that which my angels also don't know. One person went to take his wife back after he had given her 3 talaqs. So he told that family that Maulana Yunus Patel gave the fatwa that 3 talaq is 1. So you can take your wife back. Now that person telephoned me, the father of the girl. He said, is this true? So people are just quoting. And then again the names could be the same. There are so many different Maulana Patels around. Almost every town has one. So you have to even check that too. Sometimes a person passes away and we say so and so passed away. Write it on the board. Now that person who passed away is somebody else, but the name is the same. And you find the whole crowd pitching up at somebody else's house and want to know what time is the janaza salat. So if that wife didn't have any heart problem, she gets a heart attack. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is loving. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to see the society peaceful, happy. There must be unity. There must be no friction. There must be no disunity. There must be no labeling and no scandals. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that whenever a person comes to you who is sinful, he is known not to be a very honest person, truthful person, or he is a person that is unknown in the society, he just comes up from somewhere and gives some kind of news and information. So then don't just accept it on face value. Verify it before you say anything. Now these Taweez Walas at present, how much of lies they are speaking. How much of lies. And look at the friction that they have caused. Husbands are hating their wives. Mothers are hating their daughters. Parents hating the children. Children hating the parents. In-laws hating the in-laws. Why? Because they say some Taweez Wala they went to and then he showed on the wall or he showed on the fingernail or he showed on the paper, somebody's face appeared. Now there's lies, nothing but lies. The jinnat speak a lot of lies. Has anybody got the power to catch one jinnat and bring him to a court of law and say that now we're going to test your evidence? So when the person goes into the trance, it is sometimes the jinns, the shayateen that speak. and they label this person, that person, so and so did jadu on you, so and so did jadu on you. I mentioned in one of my majlis the other night that at least three people personally told me, they themselves told me this. If they had not told me, I wouldn't have believed to. They said, we went to a certain Tawiz wala, and the Tawiz wala said that it is Maulana Yunus Patel who did the jadu on you. One of my own family members was told that I was the one who sent that jadu. So now can you believe such kind of things? I imagine just accepting that on face value, how much of friction, fights and quarrels. And that person is totally innocent. And we haven't verified anything. We haven't really checked anything. And we don't even have the knowledge. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got the hidden knowledge. So we have to be extremely careful, because it is creating friction in the society never heard of before. We deal with society all the time. Our finger is on the pulse of the society, so I know what is happening. We don't tell you fairy tales here. Large number of letters, telephone calls. Maulana, I have been blamed, and yet I am totally innocent. I don't even know what this jadu is all about. So we have to be very much on guard, because if we are going to falsely accuse people, then someday or the other, we will be affected by that same jadu. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us. It is not an easy thing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, His mercy, His love for us, Allah ta'ala says, if a person comes to you with some information, and is a wicked person, is a liar, or is a sinful one, then verify it. Don't take any action immediately. You could take action and after that regret it all your life, that why did I take action? Why didn't I verify? Why didn't I check? Yes, sometimes a person can have a kind of exercising of caution. He can exercise caution. A person comes to you and says, must supply me goods. And the person outwardly looks very pious. He's got the garb of a good Muslim. He's got a mashallah beard too, and he's got a good topi too, and good kurta and everything. And he said, made half a dozen hajj also. Now he says, supply me goods. So then you don't have to go by his outward appearance. You must investigate, you must find out, you must check. It's not necessary that every haji sahab is a very honest person. So we must check it out. Therefore, that Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, and it was very, very true what he said. He said that many people are complaining to me that we supplied goods, for example, or we traded with so and so, or we gave our daughter to so and so, and then that person did not turn out to be what he had appeared outwardly. So he said, if you see a person making namaz, or if you see a person out in the jamaat, then don't take it on face value. Don't give your daughter to him, and don't supply him goods, or deal with him and trade with him, until you have made the normal investigations that you would do in the case of any other person. Make your investigation. After that supply, don't blame the Jamaat for that. Don't blame Hajj for that. Don't blame his hifz of the Quran Sharif for that. Don't blame his kurta and beard for that. The beard hasn't committed the sin. The kurta hasn't committed the sin. The individual has committed the sin. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi, when some student stole something in one of the Darul Ulooms, and the police had arrested the person. So the non-Muslim police said that it's very shocking that how you have a student of a Darul Ulum committing a theft. So he said, a student of a Darul Ulum will never commit a theft. But sometimes a thief comes in the garb of a student into the Darul Ulum. So like that, if the person is a genuine haji, he's not going to commit fraud, he is not going to abuse, and he is not going to commit adultery and fornication and commit all kinds of vices. But sometimes a person who is already in that kind of habit, now he becomes a haji sahab also. So you don't blame the hajj for that. So in ja'akum fasiqum bi naba'in fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bi jahala fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimi. So we are allowed to exercise caution. Ta'amalu kal ajanib. That when you are dealing, that at that time deal like strangers. Even if you are friends, but deal like strangers. Let everything be recorded. Let everything be reduced to writing, especially major transactions. Don't say that because he's my friend, because he's my uncle, because he's my brother, because he's my neighbor. So therefore, trust, trust, trust. On trust, we do a lot of things. And after that, it ends up with major squabble, major fight, major arguments, and major problems. So Shariat wants us to live a life of happiness, peace, prosperity, contentment, and satisfaction. So if anybody comes with any kind of information, then verify it. Otherwise, it will lead to scandals in society. And especially those kind of information which will harm the dignity, reputation, and honor of someone. Then don't just accept it on face value and start circulating it. If we are going to run somebody else down, if we are going to degrade him, if we are going to cause any kind of harm, then it will come back. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us iman and keep us steadfast on iman. The iman that we have, Allah ta'ala must keep us steadfast. He must increase the iman. Allah ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the suffering of the people of Lebanon, Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kashmir, Sudan, and so many other parts of the world. Wherever the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering, we must make a lot of dua for them. And not only for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is ummah dawat, but also the ummah ijabat. Ummah ijabat we make for the Muslims, but for even for those who are not believers, we should make dua. Allah ta'ala must bless them with hidayat. It is we who haven't done our job, therefore they are not coming into Islam. But the day we begin trading with them like true Muslims, the day we begin treating our maids, our servants, our staff like true Muslims, the day we begin to treat our neighbors or deal with them as true Muslims, then it won't take time. People will just enter into the fold of Islam like it happened in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.